Hey, so X-Men, did you guys watch the cartoon in the 90s?
I did.
Do you guys remember the theme song?
Wait, hold on.
It's like...
Yeah. See, we all remember that. I remember... Yeah.
All right, welcome to the Rated NA podcast number 39 for the website nerdappropriate.com. What's up?
Howdy.
Sup, dogs?
Nada. It is October 1st. It's Saturday morning right
now.
That's
crazy. It's my favorite month.
We are just a short couple weeks away from our birthday.
That's ridiculous. Are we going to do something? I think we should.
I don't know. We haven't.
We kind of briefly
talked
about
it. Are we going to plan it on the podcast?
Let's plan it on the podcast. I think we might do something for our year anniversary.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let's have a party and just invite us. Us three.
When is the official... When was our first
one?
Yeah,
I don't know. Only Matt knows that. I don't even know.
Pulling it up right now as
we
speak.
Did that podcast actually make it to air as it is?
The first one?
The very first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we did. I thought we didn't post. I thought we started it.
No, we did.
Started it.
And then we had like weird numbering for a while because we didn't know what we wanted to call everything.
Yes. Yeah, I think the original... you know what? I think Scott might be right. We did do a prototype episode.
And I don't think...
No, it went up.
Really?
We were like, oh, this is terrible.
I'm telling you. All of them made it up.
Fair enough.
Well, listen to episode one. It's awesome. We talk about X-Men Destiny, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about today.
I know. Isn't that weird? It's almost a year later.
We finally played it.
All of our hopes and dreams.
It met all of them. So what have you guys been up to? Scott, what have you been up to?
I finally watched Transformers Dark of the Moon last night.
Did you? I still haven't seen that. I don't know if I've seen two yet.
I thought you did see it. I thought you saw it in 3D.
No.
I went and saw it.
He did.
I saw it. I don't think I saw it in three dimensions, but I saw it in single dimension.
Two dimensions, you mean?
Yeah.
Two.
It was probably my least favorite of all the Transformers.
It would have been way different in a single dimension because it just would have been like a straight line, I think.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. I guess it would have been just as good either way.
Yeah, when I watched that movie, all I could think of was that Ozzy Osbourne song, Bark at the Moon. And have you ever heard that?
Not Pink Floyd?
Not Pink Floyd, no. But what did you think of Dark of the Moon?
It was a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, I'm glad that Michael Bay is using the Transformers as a vehicle to promote American like patriotism. I don't know.
Did you hear about the horrible auto accident that happened on the set of that movie?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I think we may have talked about it on the podcast, but a girl almost got her head cut off by like a cable or the extras during the car chase scene.
It was really bad.
Wow.
Yeah. It like snapped and...
Yeah, the cable, like one of those big cables.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
Lopped her noggin off. I think she lived.
So apparently our first ever article was November 4th.
Damn. Really?
So I thought it was October.
That's the first article, but when was the first? When did we actually record the first podcast?
When did we record it? I mean, it didn't go up until
did go up with
November 17th.
We can just say November 1st and just, you know, that can be our birthday.
Cool. Yeah.
And try and do something right after Halloween-ish.
That works.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, you're all invited. Come on over.
Me and Scott.
And, you know, and whoever's listening to this, you guys can just come to the party that we haven't planned yet. It'll be fun.
We could plan it. It'd just be the most... It'd be a nerd party where there's only like four of us sitting there in a room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one else talking.
We can do it in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, God. Is that in reference to Whitney? Because it's one of the worst fucking shows on
TV
right now.
I haven't seen it.
There's a laugh track.
And oh, really?
It's just obnoxious. Have you watched it?
No, I don't plan to watch it.
It's they say at the beginning like, Whitney is recorded in front of a live studio audience, but if that's a live studio audience laughter, then it's identical every time it goes off.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's horrible. It's just horrible, and it's constant. And it's one of those, like, the guy in the show is just kind of an asshole to her, and then you laugh at it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's like, well, you never have sex with me anymore. And then he's like, well, if you ever took off your sweatpants, and they're like, and you're like, what? That wasn't funny nor like witty. It was nothing.
Oh, man.
So it's just kind of annoying.
It's going to be hard to write for a television show like that and have your humor appeal to such a broad audience. Because like we were talking about New Girl and how we both really like it. But we're kind of weird guys, you know, and like I can see like.
But the numbers support us on that one. So.
Yeah, no, and I'm kind of surprised at that, though, yeah. You know, it's like New Girl just got a full season pickup already after its first show, mm-hmm. which is great. And I'm happy because I really liked it. But also, like, I'm just shocked that the rest of America actually appreciates that style of humor.
Yeah, it's actually something we're going to talk about in the news because the fall TV ratings came out for the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I did watch. They're interesting. I watched two Broke Girls, speaking of.
Did you like it? Because it's kind of generic comedy. It's CBS kind of
comedy. Yeah,
CBS.
Yeah. I didn't care for it too much. Yeah.
I don't think it's bad. It's not as bad as like 2.5 Men. You know, but it is very like lowest common denominator.
You know why it's not good? Executive producer, Whitney Cummings.
Oh, I know. But she's actually funny is the thing. I've seen her do things where she's funny. It's just odd that she doesn't seem to translate to TV.
Yeah.
And for me, at least.
Not a fan.
All right. Well, today we've got some news, a lot of news actually, about Amazon completely refreshed the Kindle line. We've got fall TV ratings and something we already said, but New Girl got picked up, so we're going to talk about that real brief.
Yeah.
Battlefield 3 is in public beta.
You guys play it yet?
I have not downloaded it yet. I got to clear a bunch of shit off my hard drive.
Yeah, it's 1.9 gigabytes.
Yes, I have not played it.
I did play it.
Fantastic.
So I'll talk about it
all
a
right.
little bit.
We've got a funny story about that Joystick put out about a guy playing Call of Duty. Did you guys read this?
No, I didn't read this.
We'll
this
talk
is,
about it.
This
it's,
is amazing.
It's kind of funny. We've got some Avengers rumors, and then we've got Uncharted's deal with Subway, which is beyond normal, I would say.
Yeah.
We're reviewing X-Men Destiny, Terra Nova. Ash is going to talk some more Gears 3 with the 4-player co-op. And then we've got the final week of DC's 52 refresh. So... I actually picked up a lot of the comics this week, so we're going to talk about that.
Sweet.
And then we're going to do an open thread, most likely, about mobile gaming.
Sounds good.
Or not.
Good.
We could awesome. Change it on the fly. We have no
I
idea
like,
what's going to happen
like
to that
this
open
because
thread.
No,
I want to talk about it.
So first up, Amazon this week had a press conference, and it was on Wednesday, I believe, and they announced a brand new line of Kindles. They've got a new... cheap Kindle, which is they basically it's the same as their keyboard Kindle, but they got rid of the keyboard, so it's just got a little like swivel dial on it. $79, which yeah. is cheap as shit. I mean, they're only like twice the price of a hardcover book at that point. I
yeah
mean, that's crazy. And then the next step up from that, there's a $99 Wi-Fi touchscreen version, which has like a super fast refresh on it. There's $139, I think, dollar 3G version, which gives you free 3G.
That's a $149, sir.
$149. And then there's a $199 brand new 7-inch capacitive touch tablet.
Yes.
Called the Kindle Fire.
It looks pretty cool. I looked at it yesterday.
So the Kindle Fire, I still think one of the bigger news items is the fact that there's a $79 fucking dollar e-reader out there now from Amazon, which is crazy.
I'm worried that there are too many Kindles.
Well, they kept the keyboard one. That one's still around. That one's $99 now, I think.
Right, so you've got the cheap one.
And then the
one,
DX, too, is still around.
You got the cheap one, the Touch, the one with the keyboard, and then the giant one.
Yeah.
And then some
and then the
of
Fire.
Those. Many
and then
of the,
there's 3G versions.
3G and then special offers and not special yeah. offers. Yeah. And that's fine. I'm just talking about hardware. There's now like five different pieces of Kindle hardware.
Right, but I think that, you know, if you're Joe American, you really only know about the ones they're really pushing and at any point in time.
Sure.
And the ones they're really pushing are the $79, the $99, and the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, I just think the distance between $79 and $99 is so close that I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm Melissa and I actually talked about this, and I told Melissa, I was like, we're going to get a Fire and an e-reader one, the $99 one, because it's like we've been talking about getting one anyways for a long time.
Yeah.
This is, I really liked the Nook touchscreen one, not the color, but the Nook e-ink touchscreen one. I really liked how it worked. I just was hung up because I'm a little more in Amazon's ecosystem than I am Barnes & Noble.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, man, it'd be great if Amazon put one out, and sure enough, they did. And then the Fire, it's like so fucking cheap. And this is no like slouch of a tablet. It's got a dual core. I think they said Tegra 2, but I'm not positive. Dual core chip.
How expensive is it again?
$199.
It's ridiculous.
It's like a 7-inch. So it's like about the size of the Playbook.
Yeah. So it's like, it's actually the same exact hardware as the like outward hardware as the Playbook. But it's 7-inch, so it's like this big. It's got a decent bevel around the edge. It's a dual core processor inside. And then it only has 8 gigs of memory.
Yeah.
But it's completely hooked up to your Amazon cloud. So right. All of your stuff, your music, your television, your movies, your books, all that stuff exists on their servers.
Do you think that is enough to make up for the fact that there's no expandable...
No expandable memory. I think so, because, I mean, here's the thing. This is not a... the way they put it was like a lowercase a Android tablet. This is not, you're not getting this for the full Android experience. You're getting this for
a modified experience.
For the Amazon right. experience.
Yeah.
So like I will buy TV and movies from Amazon all the time digitally.
We were talking about this, Jen and I, and I think what it comes down to now, at least with the current state of tablets, is basically deciding how you want to use your tablet in your life and then choosing the device that fits that purpose. Because they're not really, I mean, they do compete in the same space, but I feel like they serve different purposes still.
To me, this is a perfect Melissa tablet. It's a media consumption,
right,
like hooked
right.
up to Amazon, does exactly, the other cool thing they're doing is when you buy it, they're actually pre-registering it to your account. So when you open it up and turn it on, it's there. Everything's good to go. All your stuff's there. Nothing.
That's how the Kindle works as well.
Yeah.
They'll send it to you configured to your account already. The thing that I did want to point out about that $79 one,
mm-hmm.
and I guess this is maybe why you would buy this, is that it has a smaller battery, but it also doesn't support any audio. So you can't do audiobooks or let me see what else. I think it's just audiobooks. So there's no there's that capability is not built in. So I guess the difference between 99 and 79 is battery.
I feel like you. I'm like, that's such a small difference. Like to me, it's like the $99 worth it. But
right.
That's
but I'm
me.
Saying like if I guess if. I mean, I think for them to hit that price point, maybe that's what was important for them. So to take features out of the device.
Yeah.
That's how you get there. I mean, I don't think. And this is the only device where features have been, I guess, removed
right.
in order to hit a certain price point. And then
I don't remember if it was Wall Street Journal or who it was, but somebody put out a report saying that Amazon's losing $50 per Kindle Fire on this.
They probably don't care.
I don't think they do.
You know?
I don't think they do. And somebody else made the point, and this was, I thought, brilliant and probably completely Amazon's plan, is that ultimately, because they were like, oh, are they trying to, you know, beat the iPad? Are they trying to compete with this and that? And I'm like, I don't think so, because at the end of the day, all they care about is you're buying from Amazon.
Yeah, they just want eyeballs.
If you're buying it from the Kindle app on the iPad, awesome. You know, if you're buying it from their Kindle Fire, great.
They're
like who cares?
Here's a 7-inch window into our storefront.
Yeah, exactly.
Have fun.
Exactly. So does this, I know, Ash, you've been toying with tablets. Is this one that you think would be cool, or do you need more?
But if you're an Apple guy, you know.
I don't really think I'm not any kind of guy.
Well, yeah, okay.
I'm kind of neutral. I don't know what I would use it for, to be perfectly honest.
And I think that's the key.
Yeah. And, you know, I use my phone quite a lot, but I don't use my phone to game. I don't use it for, I use it for, obviously, for email, for social media, things like that. I can't really fathom carrying around a tablet for those things when my phone can already do it. So I don't know.
About
e-reading?
Any interest
e-reading,
in that?
I don't know. I think in the future, obviously, I will get one for e-reading, because print media is slowly going away. And I love the idea of being able to just digitally download a book and sit there and read it. But I don't think this one is going to be for me.
How about this? How about you're sitting on your couch and you're watching a movie and you're like, oh, what's that guy from? Do you pick up your phone to go to IMDb, or would you consult this tablet?
So, yeah, I would pick up my phone.
Like,
that's what I do right now.
Info, or like you want like a video game tip, so you want to look up like a game fact or something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously looking it up on the phone isn't optimal.
Right.
But I always have my phone within 5 feet of me. So, you know, like the tablet, you know, obviously they hold a charge for a pretty long amount of time.
Right.
But I think it's something like 13 hours, is that what they're saying on
for
the fire?
For the fire? I have it right in front of me. Let me find it real quick.
Or it was 8 hours of video watching, something like that. It was decent. It wasn't as good as some of the other tablets.
8 hours continuous reading, 7.5 hours video playback. And then, like, yeah, obviously the Kindles, they say that those work for, like, a month, 2 months, or
they last forever.
Yeah, so I you know, I think it, things can be pretty awesome, but I don't know if it's necessarily for me as a consumer. Just because Christina has my wife has a tablet.
She does?
Well, not a tablet, I'm sorry. She has a Kindle, and she uses it pretty often.
Yeah.
But in terms of actually getting a tablet, I don't think we would actually use it in the house. I just don't.
Mm-hmm. All right. sorry, I just saw something on our notes. So the next... do you have more?
No.
Okay, the next thing is Fall TV ratings came out, and excuse my paper turning as I pull up the news that I have about it.
This is feedback from the first week of new TV shows.
This is feedback from the first 2 weeks, actually, a week and a half of the new TV shows. Okay. Because they've got Terra Nova in here, too.
Gotcha.
The biggest news, and this leads to the point you were making, Ash. The first thing we said was New Girl got picked up for a week, for the full season, which is our first TV Death Watch markdown we're going to have to make, is that New Girl's on all season, not getting booted off.
I think we all said that, didn't we?
I might have been the only one who didn't.
I think so. We voted one of our hearts on that particular item.
Yeah, but comedy is the big winner this fall TV. All of the comedies did quite well, with the exception of two.
Interesting.
And the two were?
Whitney.
Uh-huh.
And... it was just in Parks and Rec and Community.
Oh, three. No way.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, Whitney, whether or not it's actually a good show, because that's, I guess, whether you think it is subjective, but that show is out of place in the block of the three shows around it. That's what I think.
It filled the spot of the Olivia Munn show. It's the same kind of comedy.
That show was awful too, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's that kind of like weird multi-camera comedy that just doesn't fit in that block. But
right,
you know, I don't know. I mean, it honestly is just a filler, regardless of how well it could be. It could have done amazingly well, and all it is filler until 30 Rock starts.
Yeah, of course.
And then it comes off the air regardless. Mm-hmm. So, it's obviously not going to make it. But at this point, unless something drastic changes. But so New Girl premiered to 10.3 million viewers, which is awesome numbers for a brand new comedy.
That's crazy.
But the big winner, of course, was Two and a Half Men with Ashton Kutcher, around 28 million apiece.
Well, what's going to happen in the second week, though? Are people just going to be like...
The second week aired to another ridiculous number. It was 19.4. for the second week.
Oh, so people are still on board with that.
Yeah, it's CBS, man. It just has this weird
audience.
Hey, old
people, just leave your channel on CBS and never change it. Yeah.
But go ahead, Dash.
I didn't think television shows got numbers like that anymore. To be
30 million? Yeah.
That is insane. Yeah. Even New Girl's numbers are insane. I had no idea.
The biggest disappointment from the week was actually Simon Cowell's X Factor, which still drew 12.5 million viewers, but was not quite the number they were looking
for. Look, how many times can you watch the same show over and over
again? I'm with you. Terra Nova aired the first week, and this is, I think, good news. Terra Nova aired the first week to 9 million viewers.
Nice.
Sounds good.
So not probably still not the numbers they were looking for the budget of the show, but not quite, not in the bottom of the barrel either. Probably good enough to keep the show moving at least and see how it goes from week to week.
Well, it's science fiction on Fox, so I mean, right away you know it's going to be canceled.
Yeah. exactly.
Sadly, you do have a point.
So the sad thing to me is Whitney actually beat Parks and Rec and Community. Whitney got 6.8 million and Parks and Rec and Community got 4.
Hmm.
Yeah, those shows have their numbers have been kind of dwindling, unfortunately.
Parks and Rec is phenomenal this year too. It is so fucking good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It is really good this year. And Community, just put it on Hulu Plus, please. I don't know who is controlling this.
You guys haven't watched the first couple?
I've watched it, but because I just watch it on my computer.
You have to watch it elsewhere.
It's not on Hulu Plus. It's the most baffling thing.
Again, our ratings probably aren't getting counted at all.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
No, they're not.
Yeah, it's like how do they count anyway?
I mean,
that was last week's
discussion. Watched Terra Nova this morning, so I'm pretty sure my number didn't get counted for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So all of the reality shows, Biggest Loser, Dancing with the Stars, all that, are all actually down from last year, about a few million each.
That's good. Well, hopefully this trend is dying. The reality boom is over.
It's still cheap fucking TV to make, though, so it's hard to argue for them. I mean, they can pull in $8 million, and that still will make a ton more money than Terra Nova at $10 million.
Do you think the support for comedy kind of comes from this, like, economic depression? People want to feel good,
to laugh and enjoy a show. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. It just needs to be quality. And
oh, I agree.
I don't know, you know. Up All Night actually did pretty well. It's $10.9 million.
I really enjoy that show.
That is shocking.
It's a good show. It really is shocking. Actually a
that's,
good show.
That's the show that needs to be in Whitney's time slot.
Yeah,
because it's all that. It's all SNL alum.
Yeah,
I mean?
That's
true. That's what belongs.
Up All Night is actually good. Free Agents is actually good too.
Really?
Yeah, it's not a bad show at all.
You've been watching it?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I've been watching it. It's. I've made a point to try to watch as much. I watched Revenge, which I think aired to about $10 million.
I watched New Girl and Person of Interest.
Yeah, I think your feelings and Person of Interest are the same as mine on Revenge.
How did those three shows do?
New Girl did really good.
No, I'm talking about Two Broke Girls, Person of Interest, and Revenge.
Two Broke Girls airs after Two and a Half Men, so it's like $19 million.
But I mean, by then, those people are sleeping anyways. Yeah. The TV's still on.
Oh, their second week was $11 million. Their first week was $13 million for Two Broke Girls. Big Bang Theory, $15 million. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ash made a hand gesture.
It was a thumbs up, man. Yeah, woo!
Person of Interest is not on here. I don't have their numbers. And Revenge aired to $10 million. Revenge was good, and then it took this weird twist at the end that was like the most soap opera-ish thing I'd ever seen in my life, and I was like, this is horrible.
You know what I don't get about CBS is that they cast people like they're like, this kid's a punk, and you're like, clearly you're not a punk. You're like you're like a Abercrombie and Fitch. You stand in the front of the store with your shirt off,
right?
Yeah. And they put some eyeliner on you, and they say you're punk rock. It's like,
yeah,
try a little harder.
Yeah.
Modern Family, $14.5 million, which is awesome. Fantastic show.
You're all in on that, right?
I love that fucking show, man. It's doing great. So overall, comedy did really well. Terra Nova did good enough to keep going, which is good.
Yeah.
And then,
do you know how many episodes they have in the can already?
I do not know. I would imagine they did probably 3 to 5.
Let's hope so.
Although that first one was long, so I don't know if that changes.
Should we talk about that? Did you like it?
It's in the reviews.
Oh, okay, my bad. We're gonna talk about it. Sorry, I should read the show notes more closely.
So Fall TV. That's the wrap up on that one. Comedy's doing good, which is good. I think the fact that scripted television actually drew good numbers this year is a good thing. So hopefully it keeps up from week to week.
And we'll continue to update our Death Watch.
So Ash, you played the Battlefield 3 beta.
I did.
It is public for the computer. Yes. You can go to Origin for the computer. You go to Xbox Market for Xbox demo or the PS3 Market for... It's on all systems. Completely open.
And you've held on to your Medal of Honor disc all this time, right? Because that was the draw of that game, is that if you buy Medal of Honor, you'll get exclusive access to the Battlefield 3 beta. Does anybody remember this?
No.
Yeah, I was like... I held the disc in my hand and I was like, yeah, right. This isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And it never did.
Oh, well, it's an interesting take, though, to do a completely open public beta. It's not super common, especially for a game of this caliber.
Yeah, I think they're
you don't have to pay QA testers. You can just get free labor.
That's exactly what it is. Let me ask you guys this. What do you want out of a Battlefield game?
Squad-based combat.
Okay. What do you want out of a Battlefield game, Matt?
Guns.
Okay. So it has guns.
Okay.
And it has squad-based combat. The big draws of this game were the graphics, the Frostbite 2 engine, new physics engine, you know, destructible environments, massive maps that kind of harken back to Battlefield 1942, like El Alamein, you know, with like the gigantic airfield, and you could fly like, they have helicopters and jets on the same map and tanks and all sorts of stuff. Unfortunately, the maps that I played in the beta didn't have those things. The Frostbite 2 engine obviously was in full effect, but the maps that I played had no vehicles.
That's okay.
I don't know if it was just because I only played a couple hours. I don't know if it was just the the maps that I played didn't necessarily have those in the rotation, but very satisfying. I mean, it's definitely a Battlefield game. I picked it up and I knew how to play instantly.
Looks gorgeous.
It looks really nice.
It's the same kind of basic mechanics where it's like you can build it. You can like form a squad on the fly and like spawn on your squad,
which was really, really handy. Firefights of all of these games very fast, very, very brutal. They kind of refer to it as pixel hunting, and that means that the first person that sees the other person dies. It's basically one shot, one kill almost.
Really?
It does have a regenerating kill or regenerating health system, but holy shit, like you die so fast in this game. Like one burst from an M16, you're done. I mean, like if it's anywhere in your chest region or your head or anywhere close to that, you go down like a sack of potatoes. So it's very fast, you know, and I can see it being very, very tactical in the future.
How about the objective-based multiplayer? Is that implemented yet?
Yeah, so the objective-based multiplayer that I played, it was a huge map, and it actually starts out in a park, like a city park, and the terrorist faction is trying to plant bombs, and the good guy faction is trying to defuse the bombs that are in different locations.
That was in... Medal of Honor.
Was it?
Because DICE did the multiplayer for Medal of Honor.
Okay. Yep. So if the bad guys are succeed and the bombs do go off, then it blows a gigantic hole in the park that leads to a subway tunnel, and then the map moves on into the subway tunnel.
That's awesome.
Which is really cool. Yep. And so then the firefight moves into the subways, basically these big, long, dark, dank tunnels, and it's massive, massive in size. So you can actually move inside blown up subway cars. And go inside of bathrooms and things like that. So basically, you have two squads. Then one squad's trying to stop the other from advancing, and you go up the escalators and all that stuff. Maps are really, really well done. The only thing, like my negative feeling about it is, I didn't feel like the game's. I mean, this is going to sound really like metaphysical. I didn't feel the game's soul. Like it just felt very like, oh, here I am. I'm playing another fucking shooter. And oh, I just unlocked a shotgun. Here we go. Like,
I think that's why I've been so down on multiplayer lately. Because like, there's without objectives when it's just a straight up deathmatch.
Yeah,
it really, like you said, it's pixel hunting at that point.
Yeah, and you know, it was a blast, and I'm obviously going to pick it up. And I've been a huge Battlefield fan for over a decade.
Absolutely.
But I don't know that. I was blown away by the beta. I feel as if like once I get in there with you guys and I have a group of friends and I'm in those big maps with the vehicles and there's like planes flying overhead, then I'm really going to get that Battlefield feel. But the raw like infantry skirmishes that I did, I felt like I had done them before.
And so, you probably have. And I mean, the thing with the multiplayer, and I think we've talked about this before, is that you kind of need to make your own fun.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're not winning and you just get with your buddies and you jump into a tank and you just kind of drive around and act stupid. Like that's
that definitely. I mean, I remember the Battlefield Vietnam when that add-on came out. We were like driving around a map in a golf cart, essentially. or something to the equivalent of a golf cart. And one of us was hanging off the back with a flamethrower. And like we were doing donuts and like torching guys like with a – it was an absolute blast just because of the sheer idiocy of it all, you know.
I think we played a little Bad Company 2 online, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
And yeah. There was a time when everybody had a copy of that game, and that was
– not me.
Yeah, you should have done it, man. That was good times.
Everyone's doing it, man.
But yeah. So I'm curious when the campaign comes out, you know, how long it's going
to
be.
I'm praying for like a campaign that's like – close to 10 hours. Anywhere near 10 hours, I'd be happy.
No, I
if
agree.
It's like a 5 hour, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, I hope it's pretty good. And I hope the story is well done as well. I mean, it's obviously going to be very, very serious in tone. This is a very serious, serious shooter with, you know, a lot of politics.
And I mean, although it was a different studio, Medal of Honor had like a tremendous story. So maybe they'll just kind of build on the success of that.
That could be cool. So definitely pick it up. It's like 1.9 gigs. The copy I played obviously was for Live.
Obviously nothing's going to carry over, right? You're completely reset.
No, it's going to be reset when the game comes out.
All right. Well, let me tell you a story.
All right.
It's a familiar story. Guy sits down, plays some Call of Duty, Black Ops edition. You know, gets heckled by a kid after the kid just destroys him in a map over and over again. Kid keeps heckling, right? So far, story's pretty familiar.
Yes.
Sounds about right.
Then the guy hunts down the kid's address, goes to his house, and chokes him out, only to get stopped by his mom, arrested by the cops, and thrown into court over this whole thing.
Wow.
That part doesn't sound right at all.
So my question is, how the fuck did he find him?
I don't know, but that's what the joystick kind of broke this article. And it's the guy's name is Mark Bradford, and It's really funny how they write it. The first half of the article is all like, this is wrong, you shouldn't do this, you know, this is the worst thing to do. And then the last sentence is, this is the end of our post on the matter and in no way continues after the break. And it's like, okay, they're gone. Sorry, we can't be too careful and our bosses never read after the jump. Here's our real post. We need to first apologize about what we said about Mark Bradford because Mark Bradford is motherfucking Batman.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's true. I mean, I don't know. He just somehow hunted this kid's address down, went to his house, just completely snapped. There's a quote from him. He's just like, the kid wouldn't leave me alone. He kept going after me. He's just like the most homophobic, like horrible things to say. He's like, I just snapped. I just lost it. I just was done.
Yeah. Everybody has that breaking point. Yeah. And most of us would turn our system off
or
mute the other player.
I was gonna say, you can mute and report players.
It's yeah. Mr. Bradford, I'm sorry you had a bad day, but I'm surprised this doesn't happen more.
Yeah, I mean, like the point they kind of like jokingly make is like, this is a warning to kids that you can't just like fire your mouth off to a dude who's probably three times your size.
Yeah, yeah.
However, you like, oh fuck you faggot, blah blah, like saying all the horrible things that you say. Like,
yeah.
One day a guy might hunt you down and choke you out over it.
Yeah.
Like, be careful.
Yeah, so. For real. And if this story is 100% factual, I really hope people make up more stories like this and leak them to the media. Because I think a lot of these younger players that do shit like that need to shut the fuck up.
Maybe we should write a book of fables for
kid gamers
for modern times. You know, modern.
Dude, you would make so much money with that. Yeah. Sell it at Urban Outfitters.
I can do that.
There you go. Please do it.
So that one wasn't long. I thought it was really,
it's funny.
We'll link it in the show notes, but it's like, oh, it's so ridiculous that you know, finally some kid just gets that. It's horrible. Granted, you know, 46-year-old dude choking out a 13-year-old kid.
Died.
Yeah,
the fact that he was probably barely injured makes it awesome.
Yeah, I don't think he was really. I mean, the mom was right there. Apparently, yeah.
I mean, like if he would have gotten hurt, then it's a sad story. But you know, he probably won't be talking too much shit anymore in the future.
Uncharted is in Subway.
Yeah, I honestly just read this on my way over here and it kind of blew my mind. But Subway is currently doing a promotion where all you have to do is go buy a large drink. You go buy your large drink, you get a code, and that gives you 1 month of Uncharted 3 multiplayer. And Uncharted doesn't come out for about a month from today. So the very end of this month, Uncharted 3 comes out, and then you'll be able to play the multiplayer attached to the game. But how this is different and how it's not a beta is your levels and all your gear and stuff you unlock in the multiplayer from Subway actually carry over. So you're going to be able to level up before the game comes out. And all you got to do, of course, is buy a Subway drink. And there are also Subway-related prizes and achievements in-game, including the Subway $5 foot-long taunt.
Which so,
neat.
Scott, yes. How excited are you about this free multiplayer?
Really, who cares about this game? Doesn't need multiplayer. I mean, honestly, like, great, you put it in there, we're gonna jump in, we're gonna shoot people, you're gonna get a level, and then 2 months later you're never gonna play this game again. So
it could be good though, man. What if it's good?
I mean, what if, I mean, every game has multiplayer now, like, who cares?
That's true. I mean, the multiplayer thing. Well, I mean, we understand why, though. We talk about this like every week.
It adds value.
It adds value.
Sells more copies.
Replayability. Yeah. You keep it on your shelf. You don't give it. You don't give it away. You don't trade it to, you know, the gypsies, as they say.
those damn game trading gypsies.
So, would this be something for the price of a drink that you'd be willing to try out? If I bought you a Subway drink,
are you
going to
try it in the name of?
If I got you
site?
A large cola. Would you try Uncharted Subway?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, whatever.
You'll try it?
Yeah.
Speaking of PS3, you know what's coming out on it. This isn't in our news, but Chrono Trigger.
Really?
This week, I
think. Is it a remake or is it just
They just ported it to PS3.
But, yeah, I mean,
dude, that game is still so fucking good. It is worth anything.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but I also think it's on the Wii Shop somewhere, too. I mean,
what's the Wii Shop?
Why would you do this to play Chrono Trigger?
Oh, you don't. You don't actually.
For our listeners, Matt was waggling his arms.
You can play with a classic motion controller.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That thing only costs like, what, $40 next to the wheel and the balance board and the heart rate sensor and the fucking gun attachment.
I think you do play Chrono Trigger with a balance board.
With the balance board and the heart rate sensor.
Yeah.
You're just all fucking
you
jacked
lean to the left to teleport.
You look like Neo in the Matrix when he's plugged into that fucking machine. Like, I'm playing Wii.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, we're coming back with some reviews. We're going to kick it off with X-Men Destiny, but we are going to take a break. We'll be right back. Reviews.
So you guys both got a chance to play X-Men Destiny.
We did.
Thanks to the Red Box.
Yes.
The Red Box. Speaking of Red Box.
What?
Anyway. Hey, so X-Men. Did you guys watch the cartoon in the 90s?
I did.
Yeah, I remember being, this is for serious, I remember being so excited that when that cartoon first came on, I was, I think, in like elementary or middle school.
Yeah.
I stayed up because they aired it like one time before it actually, they aired it like a month early. Like it was on at like 4 a.m. I don't know. It was like a preview or something.
Really?
Yeah. In my neighborhood. I don't know why. So I woke up really early and they played it. And I remember I would like, when I recorded stuff back then, I would run up and hit pause and cut the commercials out.
Right.
Because that was annoying. So I'd keep like logs of all my favorite shows on VHS.
Yeah.
And so I had... I think I still might have it. My original airing of the X-Men animated series without commercials that kept it. God, it's got to be in my garage.
It's
someplace.
On Netflix now. Wow.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. It is. Full
yeah.
But
I have
okay.
like
okay.
boxes of VHS in the garage. It's
yeah.
pretty sad.
Do you have a VCR?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. What do you do with old VHS cassettes?
You can transfer them to DVD.
I guess you
could
do
that. I have a VCR that I bought a long time ago and just never had a reason to throw it away.
Yeah.
So I still have one. Yeah. It's not hooked up to anything, though.
So, X-Men Destiny.
Yes, this is the promised game from Silicon Knights where you make a mutant and join the X-Men.
Yeah. I think using the phrase like making your own mutant was sort of slightly misleading.
This is my thing with Silicon Knights, because they did this with Two Human. I feel like they make promises that they just can't deliver on. Like literally it's not going to happen. Yet they say it anyways, and then they're like, and then it comes out, and then you're playing, and you're like, this is not at all. It's like a letdown because of these promises that get made about what you're going to be doing.
Do you think that's marketing's fault or their fault?
I was willing to think marketing's fault, but then when the second game in a row that they put out in the past 10 years
okay.
has the same thing happen to it,
sure,
which is like, this game's going to be epic, and you're going to do this and this and this and this and this, and then you play, and you're like, this is a beat 'em up. Like,
yeah.
This is not even, I'm not even close to what you said you were going to do.
So my question for you guys is just a little backstory.
Yes.
You both have very different levels of exposure to the X-Men universe.
Right.
While we have all watched the cartoon series, Matt, like myself, grew up reading the comics, whereas Correct. Scott did not.
Yeah, I saw the movies.
Yes, which is fine.
It's fine.
Which
okay.
is fine.
Good.
You know?
Yeah,
So as different levels of X fan, do you guys feel like this game was good for X fans?
I say no.
Okay.
Just because I feel like your time that you spend interacting with the mutants in the game is very minimal. And
okay.
It's like on a very superficial level, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean that's
I would actually say yes.
Okay.
I agree. The time you spend with the characters is really kind of weirdly forced, and it doesn't always make a ton of sense.
Yeah. Does Wolverine show up?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Does he say, I'm the best at what I do, bub. And what I do ain't pretty.
That's in his line. No, yeah. But the storyline that they're following is right before, I guess, House of M. It's the one when Bastion, or maybe right after House of M. Bastion has appeared, and he's trying to kill off all the mutants, and they think they killed him, but he's coming back, essentially.
Okay,
and
then, I think I vaguely remember
Is this
that.
In the X-Men
yeah,
wheelhouse?
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
This is part
and,
of a...
And they did a decent job of making it comic booky.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like the story is like completely foreign to X-Men and what you're doing.
That's good.
So the story, I think the story is there.
Okay.
And I feel like it didn't disservice X-Men fans.
Now, from what I saw when I was at PAX Prime, and I played this briefly for about a half an hour, each starting character has their own specific origin story. Did you play? Which one of you guys played as the girl? Did anyone play as the girl?
We both did.
We both did.
You both did. Okay. Yeah. So from what I saw, like each one has like a different intro. Like
they each have an intro.
The girl too.
Right. Right. They each have their own intro. There's like a football player, jock guy.
Yeah.
There's a like punk kind of kid.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
there's the girl who came from Japan.
Yes. And
whose dad looks like armor, but. Apparently isn't.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
It was like a weird. I don't know. I don't know if it pays. I didn't beat it, so I don't know what the end of the story is. We're not obviously going to spoil it.
Yes.
But, yeah. So, yeah, three different characters. But once you've picked that character, the path those characters take is one of three options, right? I mean, they all had the same power choices.
Yeah, I mean, the power is one of three choices, and then the story, I think, is one of two, sort of.
Yeah, so, because the other weird thing is that they throw you in, and then you start by... pseudo by your decisions you join either the Brotherhood or the X-Men faction as you're going through but they don't ever really
I'm fairly certain that no matter which faction you side with the game concludes in
the same
fashion
way.
Yeah
it, so
and,
they
and
kind
to be,
of
to be honest
fake
with you
it.
They never really explain like if I didn't know who these two groups were outside and I don't know how you felt but if I didn't know who these two groups were
yeah
showing up to this game there's no introduction to either one of them. And when you start making decisions about which one you're going to join, it like there's literally no introduction to either group.
And I think some of those things are forced through the dialogue in the game.
Yeah. So it's very like the story kind of happens and then they're like Quicksilver will show up and it'll be like, join the Brotherhood because we're going to go kill some humans. And then like Cyclops will be standing right next to him. He'll be like, you shouldn't do that. You should join the X-Men. And it's like, this is my decision factor. Like, why is this a thing?
So it seems like almost like a writing problem at that point. Like in terms of, you know, they tried to do a deep branching story, but really couldn't quite pull it off.
I'm even okay with that. I think that the problem that this game has is that the narrative is not well enough integrated into the gameplay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like gameplay stops, and then there's some narrative, and then gameplay starts again.
So sort of they exist like. Interdependently of one
and
another.
And the voice acting is...
Oh, really?
Not so far.
Yeah.
Gene, it's me, Cyclops!
And then, like, little things, too, like the sound. Like, when you run, it sounds like a horse running the whole time.
It does. It sounds like
really?
You're galloping.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really odd. It's like as if your right leg is a lot heavier than your left leg. You're like...
I'm kind of surprised that you both picked the girl.
Did you pick the girl?
Now, here's my question. Did you pick the girl because you felt like she had the best character design? Because when I played...
Yeah.
When I played at PAX, I picked the girl as well because I was looking through it. I'm like,
the guys just had no interest in me.
Beefy, boring dude and like cool, like radical dude. And I'm like, and girl with a cool scarf. I'm like, I like that.
Yeah,
scarf.
I mean, she clearly had better design.
There was like a wannabe pro football player.
Yeah.
And a guy who looked like maybe like Wolverine in training. Like,
yeah.
And then cool girl with a scarf. Yeah.
Yeah. So you went with a scarf.
That's really how it breaks down. And then of the three,
and there honestly wasn't any introduction when you go to pick them. You just kind of, they're just like, pick a person.
You know what?
And you're like,
I think,
all right.
I will say, to say something good about this game, I do like how the menu screen starts the story, and I do like how the story, how you pick your character.
I thought the intro, the entire intro to the game was pretty decent. The whole like weird comic booky intro into the 3D and
they did a good job. Vehicle and
the menu,
such.
The menu starts with, what's the guy's name? Is he in the comic books? The guy who was speaking at the mutant, at the rally or whatever? Reyes or something?
Reyes, the guy who's in charge of the like the mutant cops.
Because the menu screen is like shots of the three potential mutants like being in this rally and kind of like being lost in the crowd or whatever. And then when the game starts, you pick one of these three people, but they're just kind of like standing in the crowd, like watching the speech.
Yeah.
And then when the action starts, there's like an initial event that occurs. And then at that point, you're like the game freezes and then you have to choose like your one of three power paths. And I thought that was kind of cool, the way that your powers are given to you.
Yeah, I thought it was all cool. They just, there's like, there was no explanation to anything in this game. Everything that happened just happened. It was just like, now you have a power, pick it. And you're like, okay. And then you're like looking through it and you kind of read the descriptions and you just pick one. But they, I mean, I'll be dead honest with you. None of them seemed like, none of them were like, this power is super interesting. They were just like weird amorphous power that made it look like you're going to punch people. Amorphous power that made it look like you're going to punch people.
As far as I could tell, two of the powers were close combat and one was projectile combat. So
I couldn't, I mean, did you do the projectile?
I did not.
I tried.
I could not imagine doing projectile in this game.
It would have been awful.
It would have been horrible.
It didn't work very well.
Yeah. The targeting system's like god awful.
You basically like highlight one enemy and then unload on them, right?
Did you pick stone arms or shadow arms?
Shadow arms.
I did as well. We played the same game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I'll be honest with you. I mean, that was the most interesting sounding one. Like they all sounded super boring, and that was the only one that I was like,
it's like you could have fists of rock, projectiles, or like cool shadow like fighting, and you're like,
and then like X mode, they never explained at all. I had to look it up, and maybe that's in the instructions that I didn't
which
have,
we didn't have,
but still, like something as cool as that, you would think they'd be like, oh, in X mode you just collect all these things and then you can do it.
I'm actually really surprised they didn't give you like four matching pieces to start with, being like, hey, this is something
so
cool.
X mode,
yes, explain this because I don't know what
X mode is. You get one of the honestly more interesting things in the game is that you have X genes that you equip essentially, and they modify your character in some way. They'll give you another set of moves, or they'll raise your M power, or they'll let you hit quicker, or whatever it might be, and they're all based on characters.
Okay.
So there's like Cyclops and Colossus and Wolverine and Surge and Iceman and all that.
Okay.
So there's three. There's an offensive, a defensive, and a utility. And then you have outfits too that you can find and wear. And they're interchangeable, so you can change out any of them. This is the part they don't tell you.
Can I turn into the White Queen's outfit?
Yes, you actually can.
What?
It's an unlockable. It's a secret unlockable at the beginning of the game.
It was a pre-order item that you could just look up on the internet and put the code in for.
Yeah. But so the four items, what you can do is match the four items. So you could wear Colossus' suit, have his offensive, defensive, and utility power, and then you unlock something called X mode. And X mode is a special ability that you'll get based on the character. Like Colossus, you turn to steel and you can take hits better.
You're like invincible or something.
Yeah, you're basically invincible.
For like a period of time.
Wolverine, cool. You go berserk and you heal.
You go super, you're like super fast combat.
And you heal too during that. Which is cool, and they're awesome, but they don't give it. You can't get it until at least. I mean, I'm halfway through. I'd never unlocked it.
You have to find all four pieces of a suit.
Yeah,
which
it's totally random.
And then, so all these genes or whatever, the genes are acquired by. And when I say genes, I don't mean denim. I mean like DNA. You acquire them by searching the environment, progressing through the story,
and doing challenges,
and finding challenges that are sort of like quasi hidden throughout the levels in the game.
God,
so like you'll be
fucking
like,
obnoxious.
The game is linear, but it's not obvious always where you need to go.
Yeah.
So if you kind of take the path, the non-obvious path, there will just like it's sometimes it'll just be like a door that's open, and from your experience playing any other game, you would see this open door and be like, oh, there's nothing to do here. But if you actually push your character into this open door, all of a sudden you just teleport. Yeah, you teleport to a challenge arena.
Let me tell you something that happened to me once. I got into a challenge arena and won because none of the challenges are actually very challenging.
No, they're not very difficult.
It's like, beat 20 guys in 7 minutes. And you're like, what? Like, who is failing this?
Yeah, long timers. Long timers.
So I got into a challenge mode, and the way it works is you teleport in, you finish your challenge, and then you get teleported out.
Yeah,
they teleported me out before I could get the X gene that was sitting inside of the challenge.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're like, you won the challenge, claim your prize.
And then you have to run and go get it. If you don't run and go get it, like, immediately. But this one happened before I could even move. It was like, go pick up your X gene. Whoop, you're back where you are. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't get to get the X gene that I was trying to collect.
The thing I did read in one of the loading screens, because there's like tips on loading screens, is that you can actually go back and load your save game or load your character and replay challenges that you did not complete previously. So that's cool.
The problem, I think, with this game is that it just feels half built. It doesn't feel... There's no polish on
it
this
lacks
game
polish.
Whatsoever. It's like... I'm actually really interested. You didn't feel like it was repetitive, like fighting the bosses was repetitive?
I mean, like, the boss fights for me were not, with the exception of one boss fight, I did not find them to be like, because what I wrote in the review was that in other games like this, in other God of War style games, boss fights take like 20 minutes to complete because every punch that you land takes like a half a percentage of the health off the guy.
Right.
I was able to kill some bosses or people that I thought were bosses just by activating a special move like one and a half times.
But then the game breaks and you fight the middle boss that we both got stuck on for a while.
Yes, the middle boss.
There's this middle boss who's like, I've never seen him in the comics, but he's some guy who juices himself up with other mutant powers. Like they have like the genes and he's spliced them into himself.
Okay.
You fight him 3 times in one fight, but you will fully beat him and then he'll reappear with a full health bar again. You beat him again, he'll reappear with a full health bar again. You beat him again, and it's like different versions of him. You have to beat him in a different way each time.
Yeah,
but not super different. I mean, it's still like you just run up and you punch him 5 times and then then you dodge. Yeah. Like, and there's like no other way to fight him.
Correct.
But what's really shitty and what's totally broken about it is there are no health regeneration. There's no way to gain health unless you have that ability.
Which is Wolverine's gene.
Right.
And
I didn't have it.
I don't think you do.
So there's no way to gain health. So you have one health bar to fight this guy 3 times in a row. And if you die, you start at the beginning.
And this is a game, oddly enough, that has a very liberal checkpoint system. Except for the boss fights.
Except for the boss fights. And then on occasion, it starts you at like a weirdly... A little further back than you would think, but it's not that bad.
And throughout the game, there are maybe like 2 or 3 of these like multi-part boss fights.
So here's the real question for this. It is a superhero game. At any point during the playing of this game, did either of you feel super?
No.
I think I did towards the end of the game when I felt like I upgraded the powers that I liked sufficiently.
But what happens a lot in cases like that, when it's late in the game and you finally feel powerful, the game ends.
No, I'll tell you what I did like is that I feel like this game, and not every game like this does this, but I felt like this game did a good job of just throwing hordes of guys at you that you could just mow down. And that's when I'm powerful, that's kind of what I want to do. And I mean, difficulty aside, like, I don't want to be fighting 5 guys and like just punch them all down with like a hit. I want to fight like 20 guys on screen at the same time and create like a tornado and fling them around the environment.
Yeah, I mean, there were times where you'd fight and you'd be like, this is fun. It didn't, I think what I would compare this to is not God of War, but that Captain America game I played.
Okay.
And that game felt fun, and you felt like Captain America, and you had an awesome time. Yeah. And even the annoying boss fights were only annoying in the repetitiveness. They weren't just, like, broken. They weren't like, what the fuck? Like, okay, this is makes no sense.
Sure.
And the saving made a little bit more sense during those kind of fights. This just felt like a rushed, which it wasn't, which is what's weird about it, but it feels like it was rushed to market for whatever reason. And
then not... marketed very well.
And then not marketed at all.
Well,
I mean, Activision just silently put this under the rug.
In cases like that, you have people that are internally testing it, and they realize that they probably shouldn't put any more money into it. And you know, so, all in all, it's sitting at a 51% Metacritic score. How do you guys feel?
Scott, I think, rates it better than I do. But
I mean, like, the way that I've come to start rating games is either you don't play it, you rent it, you buy it when it's cheaper, or you buy it on like when it's $60 on release week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, this is a rent. Yeah. If anything, you know,
I think if you are really into the X-Men or you really just need that kind of beat 'em up experience,
yeah,
maybe rent this. I otherwise would probably avoid it entirely.
Let me ask you a question. Sad. Would this game, if this, like, let's say in a fantasy land, this game got a sequel. What if it had multiplayer, like 2-player online co-op?
Like co-op? Yeah. I can see co-op being more fun. I like Streets of Rage.
I felt like that was a totally missed opportunity with this game.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think, honestly, it just needs polish more than anything. If this game just didn't feel broken while I was playing it, I probably would have had a lot more fun. But dude, that middle boss, he picks up like a rock and throws it, right?
Yeah.
Like every once in a while, he'll pick up a rock and throw it at you.
Yeah.
He would pick up a rock and throw it. I would dodge and the rock would curve and hit me.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what is he throwing? Curve balls? While he's, yeah. It's just nonsensical bullshit that happens. You're like, this should not be happening in a game.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a part in a battle arena that guys kind of enter in through to the arena through gates.
Yeah.
And as guys were entering the arena, I did like some kind of ground explosion move and flung all the enemies back. And then the doors closed and one of the enemies was stuck behind the door.
You couldn't beat him.
So I killed all the guys. He was the last guy left. The timer was ticking. I had no way to hit him.
It's stuff like that. It's just like did you test little this before it hit?
Bugs,
you know?
And such, yeah. And they probably ran out of cash, man. That's
yeah,
how
they probably
works.
Did.
It's
and
unfortunate.
It's unfortunate because I feel like the game wasn't, the story didn't lack, you know, while the writing didn't win, the story itself was fine.
Yeah.
Even the way you played was fine. It just was like, it just felt not good.
There was a lot of, I felt like there was a lot of potential there, but
yeah,
sad. I was looking forward to this one,
so we'll move on. But yeah, you know, rent it if you really were looking forward to it and you just want to try it. I would rent it. It's not the worst thing ever created, but it's definitely not very good. So this week, Terra Nova premiered, as we said, to about 9 million viewers, 10 million viewers, somewhere in there, which is awesome. Hopefully it keeps going, or hopefully not, depending on what Scott and I are about to say.
Whoa.
This is the travel back in time, save Earth storyline, where about 1,000, it looked like, or a few hundred people get put back in time in the BC prehistoric area where dinosaurs roam the Earth.
Okay.
And they are trying to rebuild civilization because they've basically destroyed it as of 2149.
Okay.
They go through like a Stargate sort of thing that they said they discovered.
They discovered it?
Yeah, they discovered a time crack.
Oh, I didn't even really catch how
you didn't catch that. Okay, so they discovered a time crack and they sent a probe through.
Smoking time crack.
This is how they explained why them going back and changing things wouldn't completely fuck everything in the world.
I didn't catch that part, yeah.
They found a time crack. They put a probe through it to see. They're like, oh, well, if we put this here, then we can wait and see how far this thing aged when we find it. And that then we'll know how far back time went. Like, they didn't send anybody through. They sent this thing through.
Yeah.
They never found it. And that's how they discovered that this was a separate timeline that they found.
It's like
not
an alternate universe.
Oh.
So that way, when they go back in time, because silly, they say this in the show, silly, if we went back in time, we could crush a butterfly and that would change all of the future. We may never exist.
Yeah.
That's the butterfly effect. That is actually a very common time travel theory.
That is how they explained it away.
Okay, so what's the point of them going back if it's not the same timeline?
Because they are trying to rebuild a civilization that they can bring everyone back.
They
to.
Don't have an Earth to live on anymore. Like they destroyed like, it. It's like Blade Runner, where like and people are live like they like when you go outside, you have a rebreather when you're outside, and so like
Earth is like really fucked.
Yeah, like they at the beginning of the show, like the main character brings home an orange, and everybody's like, "Where did you find that?" And they're like, "Let's peel it, need it." Yeah, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yes,
that's what I'm like today. I get very excited
about oranges.
Yes,
yeah. So that's kind of the concept, is that like the world is no longer
livable. I like
livable.
It. I like it. It's cool.
Produced or executive produced by Spielberg.
Yes.
That's the big name attached to it.
Stefan Spielberg.
So you want to ask the questions?
Sure, I'll ask some questions. In terms of cast, how are you liking the main cast? Let's talk about some of the characters.
So it's a family. It's kind of the main group of people, mostly unknown. A couple of them have been
The main guy's from Life on Mars, right?
Yeah, a couple of them have been in some TV shows.
He was really good in that show. Did anybody watch that show?
Oh, I loved
Scott
that show.
It was great, wasn't it? I loved it.
And then the kid, Landon, is from other kids shows and stuff, but he is in the new, God, he's in something. I'm looking it up.
Doesn't it have the bad guy from Avatar in it? The white haired guy?
Yes. The Avatar, the movie Avatar. Yes.
Yes. Not the airbender.
Not airbender.
The blue
he's
person.
Kind of like the head of security for the colony.
Yes. Not typecast.
He was the first guy. He was the first guy into Terra Nova.
He was.
Yeah. So this was not like all of them just appeared and started building stuff. This is the seventh wave of people that have come, or 10th.
Yeah.
Was it 10th? Oh, 10th wave of people that have come into Terra Nova.
Okay. How do you get chosen to go?
They call them like a pilgrimage.
It's either through a lottery or through need. So like if they need a doctor, they'll have a doctor come, which is why their family that we're following goes through.
Oh, okay.
The wife is a doctor.
Ah, who plays the wife? Anyone I know?
Her name is Shelley Kahn.
Is she sexy?
She's like either Australian or New Zealand, I think.
Everybody's a little Australian, as Melissa put it in this show.
That's cool. I like the Aussies.
She was in the remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. She was Princess Pondicherry.
And did you ever watch Pushing Daisies?
Who's in it from Pushing Daisies?
The kind of love interest of Winston, the girl with the clicker for the dogs.
Oh, she's in Pushing Daisies?
Yeah, she was in Pushing Daisies. Huh. I think that was her, the clicker girl. She was the rebel faction leader, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Mira is her name.
Correct.
Popular name these days in science fiction.
Was she?
Mira?
She was totally in Pushing Daisies. Yep. Good call, Scott. So this family, the beginning of the story is that there's population control. The family has three kids. They're only supposed to have two. The cops come raid their house. They hide the third child in an air duct for the moment, and the cops find the kid. They try to rip her out of the house. The dad freaks out, punches the cops, all of them. He is a cop, but he freaks out and punches all the cops in the face.
Yeah.
And then gets arrested and put in some high security jail for 6 years.
Oh.
They break him out 2 years into his...
Who's they?
His family.
Cool.
So that he can take his daughter and smuggle her into Terra Nova, because they're not allowed to bring the youngest daughter to Terra Nova. So he breaks out of jail and they smuggle their daughter in, and he sneaks into Terra Nova with the family to live.
Oh, so he's sort of a fugitive.
He is a fugitive. And then they quickly explain that away within the first 30 minutes by saying, oh, but he's a good guy, so he's going to be a cop now in Terra Nova.
Oh, okay.
Well, that took a little bit of time to get there. But
so you have that sort of Deadwood this town needs a sheriff. You're the best man for the job because you are morally just.
No, they kind of start when he gets into the colony, they kind of start him out on like labor services,
I think,
you know, like agriculture.
This is a little bit of pilot syndrome in this instance, but I think what they're trying to say with his character is that he's not a soldier, he's a cop. Whereas the security force is all soldiers run by this general, the guy from Avatar.
And cops, I think they're trying to morally just, right?
Not morally just. Not. I think more that he perceives things in a cop way, not as a soldier.
Gotcha.
So like he spotted a bad guy. That was part of the story. He spotted a bad guy and chases him down in Terra Nova. Anyways,
How did you feel about the kids?
I actually thought the kids were some of the better actors.
Really?
Yeah, I thought the kid was better. I thought the story that they were making the kid play out was retarded, but he has this weird storyline where he hates his dad because his dad went to jail for 2 years.
It's
nonsensical.
Did you watch V at all?
Yeah.
You remember that relationship between the son and the mom?
It's the same. It's like, we're going to create tension between the kid and his dad because that'll draw kids in. It's like rebellious. And it just looks stupid.
I felt
like no one would feel like
his
that.
His plot line was like, if Terra Nova were on the CW, that would be the
plot line. It was really weird. But I thought he was good. I thought the acting was pretty quality. How did you feel about the CG?
Oh, it didn't really bother me.
Oh,
I was
God,
like, whatever.
It's awful.
I just watched. I mean,
it's
like,
so bad.
I was just watching. You know what I mean?
I think that's where it's TV syndrome, and they were doing some really big shots with CG in them, and it was like, ugh, like, no, just keep it. Everything felt very soundstagey. The dinosaurs looked horrible.
Yeah.
Except for sometimes. When it was like fast action and dark, like the dinosaurs
gone,
looked
like,
great.
Full on Land of the Lost, like audio animatronic.
Rubber suits.
Claymation.
They do. There is a scene.
Really? I wasn't even like, I must
where
just...
the kid has his leg chewed on.
Oh, yeah.
No spoilers.
Hey, it was like he was nibbling on a chicken. It was like...
By the way, did you notice in the next scene that kid was just sitting up against the car and had no damage whatsoever? Yeah.
There's
to his
a lot
leg.
Of weird.
No, I mean, like it's you said, TV. Pilot syndrome. You gotta forgive the pilots of these shows.
I kind of wish they hadn't done an hour and a half. I would have almost rather had some more setup as to who this family is and why I care about them. Like, give me an episode to get into it, and then let's be awed by everything. And they really rushed right into Terra Nova, and we're just like dinosaurs. And you're like, okay.
Let me ask you another question: Had she been any younger, do you think the son's love interest could have been Summer Glau? Because that's what I kept thinking the whole
time.
Like,
that's who they wanted her to be, essentially?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. She's kind of like a badass.
She sounds like her and kind of acts like her. And I thought that's...
So here's the important question. Are you gonna keep watching because you like the show, or are you going to keep watching because it's sci-fi and you want to support it?
Both.
You did like it.
I really did.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I miss science fiction television, and I'm like 4 seasons behind on Fringe, so... And
they're only on me too. Right. I'm so far behind on Fringe, it's not even funny.
Man...
I know.
That's all I can say. Like, when you watch a show to get excited about the opening title credits, like that's when you know a show is good.
Oh yeah.
I totally understand. And Anna Torv is not an ugly woman.
No. Do you know she's Australian?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back to the show we're reviewing.
Sorry.
No, I enjoyed it. It felt very kind of hokey. I don't know. I mean, I didn't dislike it. I feel like it's the same as like X-Men Destiny. I just was like, well, if they figure out how to polish this up a little bit, it'll be pretty good.
There's things going on. I don't want to talk about, but there's things going on in the show.
Yeah, so they made like a hook. They couldn't have jammed it in there any harder with a crowbar, but they made a hook up for like the season. So
like Abrams-esque style hook.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are definitely going after Lost on this one.
Yeah.
With like a more sci-fi take of Lost.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm down with that.
Dinosaurs.
So hopefully if the writing gets out of pilot syndrome, I think it could be really good. It's kind of a wait and see for me. It's an hour long show, right? Once it kicks into regular season.
Yeah.
I think that the pilot was actually supposed to be 2 hours long, but because we watched it on Hulu, it was an hour and a half.
Yeah. But that's commercials.
So we're talking about like a 40-minute show every week.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'm down.
I'm down.
So
I'll watch it this week.
You played Gears 3 co-op 4-player.
Yeah. So, I had to bring this up because I'm trying to sell this to you guys at this point. But so I played through the day after the game came out. So on the 21st, I played through the whole campaign, 12 hours by myself, one sitting. Lots of junk food, lots of caffeine. And then Christina put in her copy, and Derek and Aaron, our friends, got their copies, and they're like, hey, let's play through from the beginning.
Derek, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Yep.
And he's like, let's all play through from beginning to end, 4-player co-op. So the Gears of War 3 multiplayer the campaign is 4-player co-op from beginning to end. So it's designed very, very differently. All the battles are much larger. They're more bowl-shaped. There's a lot more room to maneuver. You can do like flanking and things like that. Because if you remember, Gears 1 and 2, I don't want to say they were designed oftentimes like corridors, but they were pretty narrow combat experiences. Like you'd have some cover, you'd have to kind of move in on the enemy. There wasn't a lot of room to move around and such. This, because there are 4 players all the time from beginning to end, it's much larger. The battles are much more grand.
I was curious about this because, like we said before, Matt and I just played Gears of War 2.
Yeah.
There were times that even the two of us were stumbling over each other like on the same piece of cover.
Yeah.
So I wondered with like 4 people always, A, you'd probably have to make the game harder with more enemies, mm-hmm. and B, you'd have to make the environments larger. Is that what happened here?
In terms of difficulty, I would say it's probably easier than Gears of War 2.
Because there's 4 players?
Yes.
Okay.
You're looking at a whole shitload of firepower. Like, and all of us that play, we're pretty decent, you know? And they did an amazing job of making it so you don't stumble over one another, so that there's always a lot of different options for each scenario. You can have one person standing back and sniping, and they added spotting enemies now, like they did in Battlefield, so you can identify a target and everyone focus fire.
That's excellent.
There's a couple weapons. There's a couple of weapons that work well with multiple players, and there's one weapon that actually requires 2 players to fire. It's like a giant Vulcan cannon. One person actually stands in the back and turns a crank, and that feeds ammo into the gun.
More games need stuff like this.
And it is like, there's so many different amazing set pieces that work so well with four players, and you figure you never get that feeling of that sort of like dark dread feeling when there's like overwhelming when there's too many monsters. You still get it with four people. It's just like it's set up very, very differently. So overall, like, I would really encourage you guys at some point to pick the game up. If not immediately, then, you know, and play it together. And if you can get a third and fourth person, definitely.
I'm sure you and Derek will play this campaign a fifth time again. You know,
are you guys really going to avoid it if Scott and I are like, hey, we're going to play Gears 3?
No, I'll play it in a fucking heartbeat. Yeah.
I anticipate this game going on sale as soon as tomorrow for $40.
Really?
Yeah, because of like how many people bought it or pre-ordered ahead of time.
3 million sales, right? Isn't that what they said day one?
Three.
So 3 million, but I agree. I can see it going on sale, but not because of that. I think because they're about to hit competition, and they're going to try and keep selling this game even when everything else is coming out.
Well, what is also fairly common at Christmas time is buy one get one 50% off. This can be part of that,
or like buy the whole Gears set for $50, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I do have a question about the campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a problem that Matt and I, like, not when I say a problem, we had a problem with the vehicle, like driving in the dark and having to kill those guys. That was really just one set piece. But I think the thing that probably frustrated at least me the most was the part in Gears 2 where you and your teammates separate and you both travel down like a hallway separated by like a large chasm in the middle. Somehow I was able to carry the Gatling gun all the way to that part in the game.
Yeah.
So I was able to get through most of that much faster than Matt was, which kind of created this imbalancing situation where enemies on his side were shooting me across the chasm.
Interesting.
Because I wasn't getting to him.
Yeah, I remember that part.
He would like tear through his side and be all the way at the end and then get sniped like immediately.
When you're down in the hall.
And, I'm only like two corridors in, like trying to get down to the other ones because I can't move
not
as
only,
fast.
Yeah, not only that, but there were NPCs that were with either player at that time.
Okay.
And like mine would just charge off around the corner and get killed by like a giant, whatever, like a boomer or something.
Yeah, well, they still do that. They still make your team split. But now instead of most of the time you guys were by yourselves in those games and you split and you'd have to go off on your own for a little bit.
Yeah.
Now you're split with another player if you're playing four player or an AI companion.
I've heard the AI
got upgraded. It was better, right?
The AI is amazing. Great. Like I played through my first playthrough on hardcore and there was rarely a time when I went down where the AI didn't pick me back up.
Yeah.
Because AI actually will run up and like tag you up and you know, you can keep playing. And, you know, they'll use all the weapons at hand. They'll spot enemies for you. They're, you know, they use cover really well. Tactically, the AI is almost close to flawless.
That's
great. They're never in your way.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt Scott and I are going to get this game at some point.
Yeah, just a matter of when.
Yeah.
But I was honestly thinking to myself, this is the first time I've played a shooter that's been a four-player co-op experience with any sort of campaign kind of element.
Not Borderlands is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I guess Borderlands did kind of have a campaign.
But that was still very open-ended. Like, Gears is still like a linear, single-player narrative experience.
Yeah. And this is definitely, you know, if you guys ever played Borderlands with
Reach?
Reach kind of did.
Throwing that out there as a four-player shooter.
No, it did. Yeah, it did. Yeah. And Reach was a lot of fun as well. I think this one, the length of it made it feel more of like an epic experience.
Yeah,
from beginning to end with your friends, there was something really cool about experiencing the story with everyone you know, there's a lot of really cool
is there character choice or is it kind of just
there's
like,
not
you each, are
like,
who you are
yeah, and it'll rotate throughout the game, so like you'll do one chapter with like Marcus and Dom and Anya and this new character Jace, and then the next chapter will be Baird and Cole and Carmine.
So you're saying that
You're always Marcus, though, right?
One person.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you play part of the game as other characters.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
I'm sure
it feels totally different, right?
Yeah.
It does, actually.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'll believe it when I see it.
Not in terms of like his skill set.
I'm saying like nobody runs faster or anything
no,
like that.
No, no. Okay. Yeah, the characters all literally feel the same. But when you're playing as the Coltrane... You play a little differently.
Yeah, you're right.
Than you would if you were playing as someone like Anya.
So this is the final week of 52. If you can tell, this stack is getting bigger. This is all I bought this week.
Wow.
This is not multiple weeks of purchasing. So this week we had All-Star Western, which actually got signed by Jimmy Palmiotti. Batman Dark Knight. Superman. That's an Ultimates. Firestorm. Aquaman. and Justice League Dark. And then I'm not going to talk about these because we're really short on time, but Spider-Man number 2 came out and Ultimates number 2 came out, and Marvel's doing a fucking bang-up job with this Ultimates line.
Really?
It's only Spider-Man, Ultimates, and X-Men, and they're all intertwined universes. Like, they all exist together, and they're just doing an awesome job. Spider-Man's getting written really well, and the shit that happens at the end of the Ultimates is mind-blowing.
Really?
I mean, do you want me to ruin it for you? I'll totally ruin it. Spoiler if you don't want to know what happens at the end of Ultimates 2, but they fucking destroy Asgard and kill gods.
No way.
Yes, and it's crazy.
Oh, man.
So.
Poor Thor.
Anyways, the surprise hits for me this week, and I actually tweeted one of them, and I know Ash is going to make fun of me. I'll say that one first just so we get it out of the way. Aquaman is actually good. It's shocking here.
Let me take a look at this.
So you tweeted at me a joke, right? Was it you that said...
I don't remember.
I tweeted, I was like, oh my God, am I actually enjoying an Aquaman book? And you said, so does he talk to fish? And I was like, they actually made that joke in the book.
Okay.
So this storyline is basically Aquaman comes out of the ocean. He saves like a bunch of crooks. They're driving away in this huge truck, and he jams his trident in it and just flips the truck over top of him.
Okay.
It's a badass moment. It's cool.
Yeah.
But the crooks laughed at him all the way up to it. They're like, what are you going to do? Like, spit some water at us? And then the cops are like, oh my God, why is Aquaman getting in the way? Like, everybody hates him in the universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the story is all about him just kind of like dealing with this
negative,
that he's a joke essentially, yeah, and that no one really cares about him. And then, but he,
can I read an excerpt from the book?
Sure.
I don't know if this
he
is
shows up at a, he showed up, he shows up at a restaurant to eat some food, and he's still in his Aquaman outfit.
He says, I'll have the fish and chips. And then someone goes, what? And another guy goes, you can't get the fish and chips. And he says, why not? Because you talk to fish. And he goes, I don't talk to fish.
He was like, fish have the brain the size of a pea. They can't talk. There's no conversation to have with a fish. So he like makes that point. He's a dolphins or the other or another thing entirely. But the story is about, it's Geoff Johns doing what Geoff Johns does amazingly, which is take a character, delve into that universe, and then make it somebody that you're like, oh, this makes sense. This is an awesome story to do. And it's basically all about how his dad or his mom was the queen of Atlantis, and his dad's a human, and he's kind of caught between these two worlds, neither of which respect him. The Atlanteans hate him because he's half human, and the humans think he's a joke because he's Aquaman. And it's all about like, what's he going to do and how is he going to handle this? And the end of the book is where the enemy kind of get, which is pretty much what all these number ones are doing, but the enemy gets introduced at the end.
Okay.
Where it's these like nasty fish people that like murder an entire fishing boat. So it's written, it's Geoff Johns, you know, and Ivan Reis, which is the same team that did the Green Lantern books that I liked so much. It's just written really well. The story is really awesome. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a cool take on Aquaman to make him this kind of person divided, not sure where he belongs. At the end, he kind of says that he wants to be on Earth. He doesn't want to be part of Atlantis anymore. So it's cool. Check it out. The real surprise hit for me this week, that was really incredible, was Justice League Dark.
Okay. I don't even know what that is. What is it?
It's a new book. I don't think it existed previous to this. But it's kind of the weird B players in the DC universe. So Madame Xanadu, the magician woman whose name I forget right now off the top of my head.
Xantana.
The guy with the M vest that I don't really know is the Shade Man. Shade the Changing Man is his name.
Oh, okay.
With the meta vest. He can kind of design things from his brain. The Enchantress, which ends up being kind of the evil person in this book. Constantine, which had a movie. So you maybe know him from a movie.
Keanu Reeves, right?
Yep. I don't know. It just was a really cool storyline. It was a different take for like a Justice League team up, and it's basically
Deadman
is in there too.
I
yeah
like Deadman.
It was written really well. It was interesting. Superman and Wonder Woman die halfway through it. They don't die, but they get defeated essentially, which never happens because the Enchantress basically makes up worlds and like envelopes them into this craziness. it's just awesome. It was written really cool, and it's a good way to make a team that otherwise would not exist and say and give them a reason for existing. They're like, I would say they're the X-Files of, or the fringe of Justice League or the DC universe. So
you've already got my attention.
All the weird shit that happens in the universe, all the stuff that can't be explained or controlled, they send this team in after because they do all the mystical stuff and handle all that kind of action.
Cool. I like that.
Written really well. Probably the third best book of the week is a tie between All-Star Western, which is the new book starring... I have a feeling it's not going to only star... what's his name?
Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex. But it's what it started out with is Jonah Hex. So Jonah Hex doesn't have a book anymore. Now there's just All-Star Western.
Okay.
It was good, though. It was written really well. The art's pretty awesome. A little different. I enjoyed it. And then the next best one would be Fury of Firestorm, which was pretty good. Gail Simone's involved, the girl that's doing Batgirl. It's getting a lot more hype than I kind of bought into. I didn't think it was that great, but it was decent. Wasn't bad. And then the mess of the week is this one right here. Superman number one. I don't know what the hell they're doing. It was terrible. It just was like really? It was like a mess of words and images that it just... I don't know what they're trying to talk about. It just wasn't very good. Maybe other people liked it.
I hated it as far as doing another origin story, do they?
It's like a no. They're building off of a storyline that I didn't really know, I guess. So it's whatever. I don't know. It didn't grab me as Action Comics was a lot more fun to read than that one was. So
I've always had a hard time identifying with Superman.
Anyway. I know how like he just does whatever he wants, literally, and that's what the book is about. Like there's this bad alien fire guy that he defeats by throwing him into space or something.
Yeah, he can throw everybody into space. What the fuck?
And it's literally his answer to everything. Like, he stopped a truck that was, like, these bad guys that were in a runaway truck, and he grabbed it.
Threw it in space?
And he was like, oh, if you don't listen to me, I'll just throw you into space. And I was like, can you just... He's like, oh, I'll just throw you into space.
Solves all problems.
Ridiculous. Yeah. So I really didn't enjoy it, but if you are looking out for an interesting book, if you read Green Lantern... Jeff Johns' Green Lantern and really enjoyed it, pick up Aquaman. I know it sounds ridiculous, but
I actually just flipped through Aquaman.
He's doing a really awesome job.
It looks awesome.
I have to take back my words. I like the whole idea that he realizes that he's kind of a joke. And I also liked, and this is one of the first times I've ever seen this, I've always been fascinated with different power levels of characters. When I was a kid, there was a Marvel superhero role-playing game, and they actually rated everyone's defense. And I still have it in my garage. We should bust it out. But anyway... Aquaman gets shot at, and most of the bullets ricochet off of him, but one of them kind of breaks the skin.
Hits his face,
And I was like, that is kind of cool that they kind of showed that, he's invulnerable, but he's not Superman.
Like, well, it's his armor. Like, he has this crazy Atlantean armor and then his trident, and that's what he was deflecting bullets with.
Okay, so his armor didn't actually get shot in the head.
No, he did. The bullet like winged his face, and that's why he was bleeding. Okay.
See, I thought he got shot in the head, but it only like kind of hurt him.
No, I think if you shoot him in the face, he dies.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Interesting. Pretty sure. I like the take, but that's what Jeff Johns does, and that's why I kept telling you guys about Green Lantern is he makes characters interesting by taking their history and doing something unique with it.
I think there is something about making a character relatable and human in any story that makes, either video games or comic books, it makes them interesting if you can read about that person and be like, oh, I can see myself in this person's position.
Yep.
Or, you have to be able to identify with them. And that's why games have gotten so good, narratives have gotten so much better than they used to be. It's not just some mindless, Conan the Barbarian running around the landscape killing shit.
Yeah. So dual pick this week, Aquaman number one and Justice League Dark number one.
Let me ask you, because I remember the last pleasant surprise you had was... What was the first book that you read and you said was really good? Surprising. The kind of the freaky horror one.
Oh, Animal Man?
Yeah. So comparing Aquaman to Animal Man, which one?
Oh, man. That's totally different stories.
I mean, but are they both like same caliber, like surprise pick? Like,
yeah,
unexpected.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely both very unexpected. Animal Man had some hype leading up to it. Aquaman was completely out of the blue. I honestly picked it up only because it said Jeff Johns and Ivan Reese. It was the only reasons I picked it up, and total win. So
awesome.
So yeah, Aquaman and Justice League Dark. I definitely recommend Justice League Dark if you are interested in kind of weird sci-fi ish or mystical kind of fantasy tales, I guess. I don't know, but it was cool.
Cool.
So we've got to zoom through our tweet question today. We tweeted out to everybody this question. Well, not really this question. This is what Ash wrote. We tweeted PSP, DS, tablet, phone. Do you still mobile game? How and why? Which may lead into a discussion about mobile gaming in general. But I'm going to go ahead and kick it off. We had Philosaurus replied, not really. I haven't played my DS since Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of Pokemon, by the way. I think it's 1, 2, 3 mentions in this tweet.
They were good games, man.
I never got into... We had a friend that was like crazy into Pokemon.
Because I never played it. I never thought adults played Pokemon.
I played it once and I just couldn't.
I played Blue in college.
But I mean, are these actually like quality
experiences? They remind me of old Square role-playing games.
Which is why I never got into it.
Yeah. Fair enough. We don't have to get into it, but I was just curious.
No, okay. So they were solid. I never played any except for the old black and white Game Boy one, but it was enjoyable. There's something cool about powering up your different monsters. And
I just always thought it was like a cash cow for Nintendo. And
I'm
it
sure
is.
It is. Yeah.
It definitely is, but I really thought that was the only value of it.
Yeah.
Kittler C says, I stopped mobile gaming a while ago after my Game Gear and Game Boy Color got broken. I sometimes play on my phone, though, because that goes everywhere with me.
Yeah, and that's something we talked about earlier. You're looking at really terrible sales for all handheld systems, except for in Japan, where they still sell well. They're not selling very well here right now because of the heavy use of cell phone games. You know?
So, Scott, you own a 3DS.
I sure do.
You bought it at full price.
That's a bummer. Fool me once.
And we've talked about this before. Your phone is not quite of caliber.
Yeah, I have
you would want it to be.
I have an older Android handset.
But you do have access to an iPod Touch.
I have access to my wife's iPhone.
And your wife's iPhone.
I don't have an iPod Touch.
What are your feelings? Do you pick up your 3DS or are you quicker to play something on the phone and hang out?
I really don't play a lot of handheld games.
At all.
And that's unfortunate because really,
do you poop?
Yeah, I do. But I guess even with my handheld gaming experience, I would rather play like a full game. So like if I am going to pick up my 3DS, like although I do have those downloadable games as part of the quote unquote ambassador program.
Right.
And they did just release Four Swords Adventures for free as a part of Zelda 25th anniversary. I would still rather have a game like on a cartridge or something that was like a full, like what was considered a full retail kind of game.
So what if you start seeing, what if the iPhone starts releasing, you know, $15 full retail kind of games? Would that change your mind?
I would certainly look into them.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not like opposed to it. It's just like, I can only play so many like Angry Birds, Cut the Rope, like landing the airplanes, like any of that stuff. Like
it just doesn't grab you.
It's a single game mechanic that is repeated over and over again. And like, those mechanics are built into larger games. I'd rather just play the larger games.
No, I feel the same way. And there's like a lack of depth in a lot of the iOS and Android games that they do still exist on handheld systems. But the problem is I don't see developers really taking the same time that they take with regular console games and PC games in the handheld market. It's almost seen as there's like a negative social stigma for a developer to be making a mobile game.
Sure.
It's like, you know, you're not making a real game in finger quotes, you're making a mobile game, and mobile games are seen as like kind of a joke.
Yeah. I'm sort of in the same boat as you where I'm not a fan of on screen like button controls.
Yeah, I don't like
that. Something that I would like to see more of in the mobile space when we're talking about games that don't come on a cartridge is, instead of playing like a Cut the Rope, I would rather just see more mini games that are tied to console releases. So I think I never got a chance to play.
There was like a Captain America game that came out with the console release and the movie.
Well, I mean, like there was
like a Mass Effect game, wasn't there, on the iPhone?
There was a Dead Space on the iPhone, which is actually quite good. And I'm pretty sure that playing that game unlocked something in the main game.
Yeah.
So I'd rather play like side quests of games I already like than play like some like mini game or whatever, you know.
Okay. So Midtown 583 says, I have a PSP that hasn't seen the light of day in months. I use my 3DS at work occasionally to relieve boredom. What does he do for work?
I don't know.
Like, I could imagine like playing my 3DS, my boss walking and be like, "Ah, sorry, I was just bored, man." Yeah, no big deal.
Taking a break.
Yeah, taking a break.
I would love that job, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I have a PSP. Last game I bought for it was Valkyria Chronicles 2, because I was a colossal fan of the first Valkyria Chronicles, and didn't get all the way through it just because I didn't really like sitting there looking at a 5-inch screen and playing games. So I'm kind of there with him.
But we've talked about this before, where we're all adults with TVs.
Yes.
In our own homes.
Yes.
That we don't have to share with anyone other than our significant other.
Maybe that's what's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's different.
What about integrated experiences? Like, so remember we used to play on Game Boy Advance, play Zelda? Like, do you think, I mean, I would like more of that. What do you guys think? You can't design for that, because that assumes that everyone has a PSP Vita and a PS3.
I'm
you know?
Still wanting the full game experience on my phone that feels in depth, that I enjoy.
I agree. I think
I have a DS that collects dust, and I have new games to play on it too, that it just sits in my room. I never pick it up and play it.
That's a lot of pooping you'd have to do to get through those.
Yeah. But for real. But I want so badly to download a game. I would pay for it happily on my phone, that controls uniquely, that takes it. I want somebody to take advantage of what I have, which is an insanely powerful device with an amazing screen on it that has crazy, you know, it knows where I'm leaning it and doing stuff. I want something to innovate on that idea, not use it as like a, oh, well, we can only do this because it's a phone. I want them to be like, oh, we made it awesome because you can do this with a phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If they're
location aware, like, I don't know, whatever.
Oh, okay. Maybe I know the answer. Let's say there was a $15 peripheral that you slide your phone into and makes it like a controller.
I don't want it.
No interest?
No, because I'm not going to carry it around. It's the same reason I don't have my DS with me.
So you want
24 hours
you want designers to use the hardware.
Yeah.
Like, design something for the hardware. Not try to reverse.
Well, could you imagine Battlefield 3, which is coming out on a brand new engine, Frostbite, which looks amazing on every system I've seen it on? Could you imagine them instead going like, well, it's a 5-year-old console, so it just looks a little worse?
So you don't want them to...
Like, it's a crutch at that point. You're not innovating. You're just building because that's what you're dealing with.
But like I'm saying, like, at the same time, you don't want them to reverse engineer like console controls onto your touchscreen.
Because that's not innovating either. That's
it's
just
porting.
Porting, yeah. Something that exists elsewhere in a better form on my phone.
I agree.
Like, you know, there was a keyboard demo that came out for the iPhone a long time ago where you could actually type blind. You could just start typing, and you could literally move your fingers around the screen while you were typing, and it still knew what you were typing as you were typing. Like, it was weird. It could tell when your fingers shifted left, and if it shifted
the
keyboard.
Like, if you were drifting.
Yeah, it drifted the keyboard with you. So, like, you always typed, and it kept catching the right words, and people were testing the crap out of it, and it was working. It was crazy. That kind of, like... I could maybe stand controls better if there was that kind of, like, maybe it knew my fingers were drifting, they were doing something. I haven't seen that yet. Like I said, the phone can do so much. I'm not a game designer, so it's going to be hard for me to come up with something off the top of my head, but I just feel like don't use it, like, don't design for it because it's like, this is all we can do. You should design for it by saying, here's all these amazing things we could combine into a unique experience.
Yeah. I don't think the touchscreen will ever be able to replicate what a controller can do.
But I'm saying
he's saying it shouldn't.
But I'm saying it shouldn't. Like, then fine, don't build a game like that.
He's saying that, like, the iPhone should use the front-facing camera to check your eye movement to shoot things on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Who knows? You know, I'm just saying,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, no, yeah. I understand what you're saying. I'm not creative enough to figure out how to make that work, though.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, so the game... Like, what we're having right now, what's happening is they're going, like... People love that Mass Effect. Build a Mass Effect on the phone, and then they just, like, make a weird ported version to the phone.
Well, that was just like a top down.
But you get what I'm saying, yeah. Like that. But that, like, they didn't go like, oh, well, because of that, we're gonna make this unique experience that can only be had on a phone. They just said, oh, well, just take that and kind of, like, make it work on the phone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, like, what would be awesome for Mass Effect? Now that we're talking about Mass Effect on the phone,
go ahead.
What's that?
Mining on your phone.
Sure. Yeah.
And then you transfer 10%
that's
of the credits over
about.
Here.
Sure. But that's exactly, that yeah. is it. That's like, I would go buy that for $5
that's,
and start playing.
That is what I want. And that's
and
what I did.
Take a shit, yeah. Mine while you're shitting.
They made a game. I never saw it, but they made a game for Windows Phone 7, which was Fable, like casino games or Fable something.
Yeah, I know Clayton played a lot
of
that.
And you would transfer stuff from that into your console, Fable 3.
Yeah. What if it was? But what if it was mining on the iPhone or on your Android that was also like location aware, and you could get like unique things for just trying it out while you're out and about doing
stuff. Yeah, if you could find items and
yeah.
stuff.
Great.
That'd be great.
Do it.
If you know what I mean? Like that's
absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Like craft an experience that can yeah. only be had on my phone.
It would be awesome if you could mine in Mass Effect, and when you let's say you went from planet to planet, and then it would update your status essentially, and then when you plugged Mass Effect 3 back in, it knew where your ship was in your iOS or Android game.
Even
what,
better.
What about an augmented reality for a game like Minecraft, where you could hold your camera, your phone up, it would take your what you're looking at and then model it into a Minecraft like pixelated look.
Cool.
That you could then break down and mine things while you're out and about. Like that's what I'm saying. Like there's so much shit in that phone that can do so much, and I feel like it's just they're just like, wow, this is just a peripheral. It's not a thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So. I agree. Maliflam, our buddy Maliflam, says, phone only lately. My DS collects dust. The wife plays her DS only when I'm ruling it on Xbox. So
nice.
Fair enough. I mean, that's sort of the thing with, like, we have our own TV, so we play on the TV.
We used to do that, though, when we lived together. I would play Game Boy or something in the room while you were playing GameCube, you know?
Yeah, and maybe that's the difference.
Fuck sharing.
And then the Sound Defense says phone for convenience and 3DS for better games, which seems like that seems to be the mantra here. Is
yes.
You only get a full game experience if you play it on a portable, but honestly, you're probably most likely to play games on your phone.
But what we want, like I think, and what what we conclude from this is that we want full experiences, or we want like tangent experiences to our full experiences.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
I just want unique experiences.
Agreed.
I'm tired of when I go online and it's like, oh, here's a new game for $3, and I look at it and it's like a Zelda ripoff with controls on
the screen. Or everything is a clone of something else now. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want that. That's not fun. That's annoying, you know?
Agreed. I totally agree with you guys. I don't know if I'll ever pick up the new PSP. Probably not.
Yeah.
But
I can't see myself getting it.
I'm just keeping it on the radar. I just want to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it looks impressive. I can't imagine. I don't know. It's almost in that tablet territory of I don't know where it fits in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
All righty. Well, that was episode 39 of Rated NA Podcast.
Man, 39.
So we are coming up on our year-versary.
Yep. Be sure to check us out on iTunes and Zune. And if you could, we would love it if you could rate us on iTunes.
Yes. Please. Give us a rating.
5 stars.
We need your love.
Because if we don't get 5 stars, our boss doesn't pay us.
Oh, my God. Also, right? You can always
you ever bought a car? That's what they tell you.
If I don't get all 5, I just don't get anything.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Did they say that?
Yeah.
Also, give us a follow at NerdAppropriate on Twitter.
Or hit us up on Facebook.com/NerdAppropriate.
Yes. I uploaded some pictures to that account the other day. So
awesome.
Some
I actually monitor it.
New imagery.
I go into it every once in a while and just see who likes us.
Really?
We're at 100.
Wow. We should run a
really climbing
Facebook.
Nice.
Let's do a contest on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some shit to give away.
Somehow.
I do too.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys so very much. We will be back next week with more nerdy shit.
Word.
Bye.